All right, guys, welcome to another Crossover Wednesday. I'm Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons. I'm joined by Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers. We're going to be talking about this Week 14 matchup between the Packers and the Falcons.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me, you love me. I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years at FalFans.com, on Twitter at FalFans, and of course, I'm the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today is another Crossover Wednesday episode sponsored by MyBookie. I am joined, of course, for today's episode by the host of Locked On Packers podcast, Peter Bukowski. You can find Peter on Twitter at Peter underscore Bukowski. That's B-U-K-O-W-S-K-I. So today's episode doesn't necessarily follow the usual format that we have doing these crossovers this season, as we normally talk about sort of this matchup and how this offense matches with this defense and go back and forth. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Packers are dealing with a very more different week than normal with sort of the recent firing of head coach Mike McCarthy. So digging into the sort of the specific matchups this week just didn't feel as compelling, especially given sort of the flux that that team is in. And so we focus, Peter and I focus more on sort of the big picture stuff with the Packers and Falcons. So today's crossover is more of a conversation going back and forth about what each team is dealing with and what our sort of our expectations are and sort of what different issues have sort of led this both teams astray and whatnot. And I know for some of you guys, you really like the detailed matchup breakdowns that we do on these crossovers and on this podcast in particular, because you don't get that really from any other podcast that you could possibly listen to. No shade meant, but I don't want to sell you guys short if that's something that you're eagerly anticipating each and every week when you tune into these episodes. So to make it up for you, we are going to do a Q&A on tomorrow's episode. So, you know, if you're driving, don't stop what you're doing. But if, you know, for most normal activities, stop what you're doing and you can send me a question dealing with specific matchups if you want. And at the very least, I'll give you my insights on those things on tomorrow's episode. So you can, of course, send those to me via email, LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Twitter, LockedOnFalcons is the name of that account. Facebook, again, LockedOnFalcons. And, of course, you can leave a comment at FalcFans.com where the podcast is posted daily. So without any further ado, let's jump into Peter and Maya's conversation. All right, guys. So let's jump right into this thing. This is a very interesting week for one particular team, the Green Bay Packers team, who has now fired their head coach, Mike McCarthy, who's seemingly been there for, what, 13 years, if I'm correct, Peter?
13 years. Yep. You got it.
So obviously this is a much more compelling week for the Packers than it necessarily is for the Falcons. Both teams are on a little bit of a losing streak. I think the Packers have lost three in a row. The Falcons have lost four in a row. So both teams are trying to sort of, you know, at least end that curse. But I think for both teams, any sort of semblance of making the playoffs is no longer on the table. Would that be a safe assumption from your perspective, Peter?
Well, I mean, obviously mathematically it's still on the table, but I think for all practical purposes, yeah, we're not talking about playoffs for this team. And that's not the point either, right? I mean, you hit on it with the head coaching change. This team needs to figure out what it's going to be moving forward. And it needs to start, if it can, rebuilding that identity and what this Packers team wants to be for Joe Philbin the next 4 weeks, and then, you know, long term, Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, the general manager and president. Those guys have to figure out where this team needs to go from there. This is a stepping stone to that end, and I don't know how it's going to look. Joe Philbin is going to call plays for the first time in his coaching career, I think. Or at least I know he didn't call plays in Green Bay. He didn't call plays in Miami. So if he has called plays, it's been a while since he's done that, which makes this interesting because we don't have any idea what that's going to look like for a matchup between two teams that have played each other a lot going back to, you know, 2009, 2010 in the primes of Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers' career. This is not the matchup we thought we were going to get at the start of the season between these two teams.
Yeah, it's interesting because since Dan Quinn took over the Falcons in 2015, the Falcons have sort of this matchup has been a little bit one-sided in the Falcons' favors over the last couple of years. And the Packers went into the season with a new defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, and now they have a different play caller, different head coach now with Joe Philbin. So this sort of, you know, I think for a lot of Falcon fans thinking going into this game that they would basically, oh, this would be a repeat of sort of the last couple of seasons where the Falcons just seem to own the Packers and they'll take care of business. But it's different given the different coaching staff. So there's going to be brand new wrinkles. You're not going to get the same tried and true Dom Capers defense that you've got in the last couple of years. You can argue certainly that sort of sameness may have led to Mike McCarthy's downfall as well. And then on a different note, you're playing the Packers in Lambeau Field, where, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, but like that loss to Arizona this past week, wasn't that like the first time in a pretty long time that the Packers had lost a home game there?
Yeah, I believe the number is 16 straight home games in December, too, that Aaron Rodgers had won. So, I mean, this is not a team that loses at home. And even though it is true that the Falcons have impressively beat the Packers a couple times in the last few years, if you go back, you know, over history of what this matchup has looked like at Lambeau, the Packers have pretty consistently taken care of the Falcons at Lambeau Field. So, you know, that's another, I think, wrinkle here. Neither one of these teams can claim to have any semblance of momentum. Falcons just lost at home to a rookie quarterback. The Packers just lost at home to a rookie quarterback. Obviously, the Ravens and the Cardinals are not the same team, but this is going to be interesting to see how these two teams react to all of this. These are teams that expect to compete for the playoffs every year, expect to compete for NFC titles and Super Bowls every year, the last few years at the very least. And this is, I mean, pretty close to a meaningless game in December, as close as these two teams have come to playing a meaningless game in December in a long time. How do you expect the Falcons to handle that? Because I am being honest, I don't know how Green Bay is going to handle it either.
Well, that's a great question because I'm sort of in the same boat as it applies to the Falcons because, you know, the Falcons a couple of weeks ago had a very impressive win against the Washington Redskins team that was in first place in the NFC East. And it looked like, you know, they were able to get their record to 4-4 after a 1-4 start. And it looked like the Falcons were poised to sort of turn things around this season in terms of, you know, making a playoff run in the second half of this season coming out of their bye week and basically the loss to lose four straight. And sort of wondering what happened to the offense that was among the best in the league during those first 2 months of the season. The defense, which struggled mightily during that period of time, you know, the hope was that with the return of middle linebacker Deion Jones, that it would sort of allow their defense to basically you know, stop the bleeding to the point that the offense could continue to drop, you know, 28 to 30 points a game. That they would be able to start winning some more games. And what you've had is basically, I wouldn't necessarily say that the defense has improved greatly, but they have been a little bit better as of late. But then the offense is basically just falling off of a cliff. And so the Falcons are a little reeling a little bit, trying to figure out how do they get back to the type of offensive performance that they saw earlier this season. One of the issues that they've been dealing with this year is they've struggled a little bit on the road. By and large, basically, and I've said this a number of times on my podcast and on previous crossovers I've done, is basically you can tell within the first quarter or so of these games, particularly on the road, if the Falcons are going to win a game or not. Because if they don't get off to a fast start offensively, usually their defense is just going to fade as the game wears on and they're going to find a way to lose those games. And the problem is that they have not been particularly good as the game offensively, as the game has worn on. And so, you know, whether or not they're going to be able to, for the first time in over a month, to basically come out of the gates against this Packers team on the road in Lambeau against a defense that they can't necessarily go up to the last couple of seasons and dust off that playbook and say like, oh, this is what works against Green Bay and we'll just do this again and we'll drop, you know, however many points that we need to in order to win this game. Without that being in mind, long story short, is just I have no idea what to expect from this Falcons team this week.
Yeah, and I just pulled up the Football Outsiders numbers on the Falcons defense. Last in DVOA defensively on the season and last weighted defensively, which accounts for how they've been playing lately. So even if they've been playing better, they're still the worst defense in the league, according to Football Outsiders. So,
you know, so that meshes with what I'm seeing on the field.
It's all relative when you're talking about the worst team or the worst defense in the league. I would just love a vintage performance from both of these teams, just for, you know, just maybe just for the sake of you and I, because, you know, we've had some great shootouts with Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan in this rivalry, insofar as there is one. I mean, the 2016 game was awesome. You go back to that 2010 regular season game. Obviously, the Packers got their revenge in the playoffs. And then the next year, the Falcons beat them in the regular season. So, or 2 years later, whatever it was. It would be great for both of these teams to get a little bit of momentum and play well offensively. I don't know how you have faith in that happening.
All right, guys, we got more to come on today's episode as Peter and I will continue discussing of the things that went wrong with both of these Packers and Falcons teams in 2018. But I do want to plug the Locked On NFL podcast with host Matt Williamson. You can check out Matt, who brings you something new on all 5 days of the week, every week, starting on Monday, where he is Locked On Experts with several Locked On podcast hosts from around the league joining him to discuss their various teams' performances on the previous day. You can check out former NFL quarterback Chase Rosenfeld each and every Tuesday, followed by Pro Football Focus's Mike Renner every Wednesday. Thursday, listen to Matt and ESPN's Mike Sando chop it up. And you can then check out Matt's picks for each weekend's games each and every Friday. Find the Locked On NFL podcast wherever you get your Locked On podcast, your team every day. And speaking of picking games, I definitely don't envy Matt one bit, because I know picking who's going to win each and every week is not something that I'm particularly good at. And maybe you are. And if you want to take advantage of those esoteric insights into the weekend's NFL winners, then you should definitely check out my bookie. Because you got to remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to go to MyBookie. Trust me, they're the best bet you'll make this entire season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is very easy to use. There's in-game live betting, over-under on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie has recently been slammed with new bettors and wants to help you out by giving you a $25 free play if you deposit $100 or more after 7 p.m., Eastern Time. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget that promo code LOCKEDON25 to get an extra $25 after you deposit after 7 p.m. You play, you win, you get paid. Yeah, and I'm curious from your perspective, and I know you probably talked about this a ton on your show, and we'll continue to talk about it this week in light of Mike McCarthy's firing, but I'm curious to get your thoughts, if you can explain in a nutshell for at least the Locked On Falcons listeners, who certainly aren't as dialed in on the Packers as you are and your listeners are, but sort of, you know, I've heard from afar some of the criticisms of Aaron Rodgers and his performances as of late. I watched, you know, some of that Cardinals game. You know, it seemed pretty scattershot. It did not look like the Aaron Rodgers that I have grown accustomed to seeing and certainly saw earlier this season, where, you know, it, particularly in that early Bears game where he just seemed to just, you know, be that vintage, amazing Aaron Rodgers. And I'm curious, sort of, what are your thoughts on sort of what has led to, you know, maybe the downfall, a little bit of Mike McCarthy, as well as maybe particularly your thoughts on the struggles of Aaron Rodgers as of late?
Well, I think there's no question they're tied together. You know, the offense is and always has been reliant on Aaron Rodgers to be outstanding pre-snap, post-snap, in his reads and his identification of matchups. And that's the job of the quarterback in most offenses, right? So that's not that unique. But it has also relied heavily on receivers consistently winning their matchups because they run a lot of isolation routes. And even the route combinations they run are still reliant on precision in route running, in spacing, and in timing. This is still a fundamentally West Coast offense. And that requires veterans. That requires continuity. Doug Farrar described this offense as a ballet. And if you don't rehearse it and drill it and have continuity with one another, it's not going to look in sync. I mean, the metaphor I love because it's so visually affecting. You can think of what a ballet looks like and the dancers being in rhythm. And when they're not all dancing to the same rhythm, so to speak, there is this degradation of execution. And so when you look at this offense, Mike McCarthy has continued to rely on elements that you simply can't rely on when in the modern NFL, there's just so many other advantages that you get offensively as a team that teams like the Saints and the Rams and the Patriots have for much longer, the Chiefs that they use that Green Bay doesn't use. And I can't say it's because they have Aaron Rodgers or it's because Mike McCarthy is stubborn, but it has, I think, undercut the confidence that Rodgers and the offensive players have in this system that he hasn't been able to adapt it when they haven't had the same kind of players. Because when you have Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings and Donald Driver and Jermichael Finley and Randall Cobb and all of these, this laundry list of quality skill players, it makes this offense work. And you mentioned that Bears game. Well, it's not a coincidence that in that game, it's the only game that Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb, and Devontae Adams played all four quarters in. Those were the veteran guys in this offense. Randall Cobb hasn't played since the Washington game in week 3. I guess that's not true. Week 2, all three of those guys also played, and they really should have won that game against the Vikings in week 2 with the Clay Matthews roughing call. Mm-hmm. But then after that, Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb both go out in the Washington game. Randall Cobb is only just back and Allison was lost for the year. So now you're relying on 3 rookie receivers and 2 new tight ends who don't have that continuity with Rodgers. So the offense is flawed. The personnel grouping does not fit the way this offense needs to be structured. And then you have Aaron Rodgers and the other players on this team losing confidence in Mike McCarthy's abilities to call plays and to design plays. So it is really a confluence of factors. Rodgers is not playing with any confidence in the plan. Either is the team. I mean, you saw it on Sunday if you watched the Packers-Cardinals game. This team did not play for Mike McCarthy. And this has been an unfortunate part all season long. They come out with no energy because I just don't think they have faith in the plan. And that's what we've seen too often. That's what Mark Murphy, the president, saw. And that's why he made the decision that he made.
No, it's interesting. You said a lot of things that I think probably will resonate with a Locked On Falcons listeners, because that has been a frequent criticism of this Falcon team over the last couple of weeks, where it just doesn't seem like, you know, again, going back to what I said earlier, when they were poised to get their season back on track after that impressive win against Washington and then to lose to Baker Mayfield and the Browns on the road that following week, with the expectations, okay, well, that was maybe a bit of a trap game and they'll get it back at home against Dallas. They didn't get it back. Then they had a short week against the Saints and it was like, maybe those two teams were better than, you know, certainly the Saints are one of the best teams in the league in the short week and all that sort of thing. They have a little bit of a layoff. They get to come back home against a Ravens team that was tough, but you know, the thought process was that they'd get their sort of mojo back a little bit, and they went out and had the worst offensive performance of the season. And, you know, they absolutely got dominated on the ground against the run by the Ravens with Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards. And so I think, you know, if you're a Packers fan, you're probably thinking like, oh man, this Falcons defense, you mentioned that they're the dead last in DVOA. If any offense is going to get some confidence going up, you know, if this Packers team is going to get some confidence this week, you know, going up against this Falcons defense is probably the perfect opportunity. And it's been, you know, frustrating for Falcon fans and Falcon watchers like myself to sort of see this team just come out flat each and every week for the last couple of games. And, you know, some of the things you mentioned where the Packers aren't playing for Mike McCarthy, in a lot of ways you can argue that the Falcons haven't necessarily looked like they've been playing for Dan Quinn at this time. I don't think he's quite on the hot seat in the same ways that Mike McCarthy was going into the season. But certainly it does not reflect well on Quinn and his coaching staff if they can't find some way to get this team at least back to mediocrity, where at least they're competitive in some of these games, which they really haven't been the last couple of weeks. And so, you know, facing this Packers team with an interim coaching staff and with their struggles, maybe this is the week to do it. But, you know, been saying that for the last couple of weeks, and it really hasn't been the case. So that's one of the reasons why I think there's so many question marks for the Falcons. And certainly you've talked about some of the ones for the Packers.
I'm fascinated by this because I wanted to ask you about Dan Quinn and his future with this team, because obviously there were clear shortcomings with Mike Smith and everyone sort of knew them, but they had sustained success. They were consistently, or at least pretty consistently, a playoff team, even if they weren't regularly actual contenders in the NFC. You bring in Dan Quinn and almost immediately this team becomes a Super Bowl team. There's the Super Bowl loss. And now you're looking at, okay, playoffs last year, but the early exit and even a wide open NFC. And now this year, a disappointing season, a down season. At what point does Dan Quinn start to become the target of more of this ire? Because he was brought in as a defensive coach to help bring some balance to a team that was all offense for most of, you know, the last 10 plus years. And it's the worst defense in the league. Is that all injuries? I mean, obviously they had some big injuries on the defense, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's a lot of factors. I think, you know, you mentioned the Super Bowl and that still tough memory for Falcon fans. But I think a lot of the extra scrutiny that it's been on Dan Quinn is due to that Super Bowl collapse and sort of the pressure to basically redeem that sooner rather than later with that loss. And I think you're right with the defense. The defense just hasn't lived up to expectations. There was a lot of hype, a lot of hope and expectations going into this season. The injuries certainly did not affect it. One of the things I've talked about frequently on my podcast this season was that I think the hype was a little bit too much for the defense, because I think one of the issues that they were going to deal with was not necessarily having a great pass rush. And we've seen, you know, Vic Beasley 2 years ago led the NFL in sacks. But one of the things that I've talked about quite a bit since then is sort of a lot of that production was going up against low-level competition and sort of scheme stuff and cleanup sacks. And so when you sort of look at his 15 and a half sacks over that season, maybe only like a third of them came against guys that were starters that were able to retain their jobs going into 2017 and whatnot. So it's one of those things where, you know, they haven't really seen the dominance from Tack McKinley, the guy that they drafted in 2017 in the first round, to sort of book in Vic Beasley. And so what you're having, they wound up signing Bruce Irvin a couple of weeks ago to try to bolster that unit, and it just really hasn't worked out for him. And so I think with the defense, they just haven't – the injuries certainly are a significant factor, but I think they were a little overrated going into the season, and they just really haven't lived up to the expectations that came with Dan Quinn when he came from Seattle with one of those great defenses of all time. And I think that's also adding to a little bit more criticism towards him and current defensive coordinator Marquand Manuel. But I think the big issue is that you mentioned that this team has been all offense with Matt Ryan, with Julio Jones. They should be much more productive offensively than they have been as of late and what they were earlier this season. And given, you know, how the Super Bowl went with Kyle Shanahan at the end, that put a lot more scrutiny on Steve Sarkisian. who, you know, basically Falcon fans were calling for him to get fired after his first season in 2017. They were also doing that for Kyle Shanahan after his first season. So, you know, there is no, I can't think of the word, but like basically Falcon fans, there's a very short leash when it comes to offensive coordinators in Atlanta. And so now that, you know, the offense seemingly improved at the start of this season and has sort of fallen by the wayside, you're seeing a lot more criticisms directed at Sarks. So it's there's a lot of, you know, coaches under fire, and it does seem like if Dan Quinn can't get this, you know, season back on track and not necessarily to make the playoffs, but at least, again, going back to what I said earlier, being competitive over this final month of the season, there's going to be a lot of questions. I don't think it's going to result in Dan Quinn being fired, but it will certainly raise expectations, and that seat will get a little bit warm going into 2019. And there may be a little bit of added pressure on him to make some dramatic changes to his coaching staff this offseason if things don't start to click for this team on either side of the ball in this month of December. All right, we still got more to come on today's crossover episode. But for those of you that aren't quite as invested in the NFL side of things, why not try the NBA side of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find a daily podcast devoted to all 30 NBA teams, including the Locked On Hawks podcast with host Brad Rowland. Find those shows wherever you get your Locked On podcasts, your NBA team every day.
Aaron, do me a favor and finish this sentence for me. The Matt Ryan era in Atlanta has been.
Oh, wow. You're putting me on the spot. Good. It's no doubt been, when you look at it from a holistic standpoint, it has no doubt been the greatest era of Falcon football in the team's history. They were one of the worst franchises in sports, really, when you looked at the first 40 years of existence, mm-hmm. and then compare that to the last 10 years where they, you know, basically, I think, made the playoffs in six out of the last 10 years, been to a Super Bowl, been to two NFC championships. So it's one of those things where it depends on what perspective you look at it. It's like, from one perspective, it's been, you know, the best time of Falcon football, and relative to what it was prior to that, it's been amazing. But at the same time, part of the problem that comes with having, you know, quality players and a quality quarterback is it raises expectations. I'm sure Packer fans know that, certainly going back, you know, back to 2010, when everybody thought the Packers were the beginning of a new dynasty after they won that first Super Bowl, and sort of to not see them return to the Super Bowl, I'm sure in a lot of Packers fans, it has been a major disappointment. I think there's a similar feeling in Atlanta where, you know, this organization is a little bit more desperate given some of the other issues with the Braves and the Hawks and other teams around the city, where they just, you know, are so covetous of a championship to call their own, and sort of to see the Falcons fall short of that in a number of ways has been a little bit disappointing. So I think it's good, but there is a little bit of an asterisk beside it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you hit on it. The reason I asked is this is a question that a lot of Packer fans are asking right now about Aaron Rodgers, and whose fault is it that they haven't won more Super Bowls? I mean, you look back at the last 25 years, they've had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for the vast majority of those games, and to have just two Super Bowls feels like, you know, a failure to a lot of fans. And what I always try and point out is, understand how many teams in the NFL don't have one Super Bowl in their entire history, and how hard it is to win a Super Bowl. And Falcon fans know as well as anyone how hard it is. You haven't won the Super Bowl until that clock says 0000. And it's hard to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm curious, you know, getting back to this specific matchup before we wrap things up, I'm curious, is there anything about this Packers team? Do you feel like this defense under Mike Pettine can maybe, if there are some offensive struggles, given, you know, Joe Philbin's introduction and all the other issues that you mentioned on the offense, you feel like this defense, Packers defense, is poised to at least slow down the Falcons offense. And I know when you look at the Falcons offense on paper, you see all these weapons, you see Julio Jones, you see all these things. But I do want to note that that hasn't been the Falcons. The Falcons haven't looked like their sort of paper version in a couple of weeks. So I'm curious, do you feel like confidence in this defense that at least can keep things competitive if they need to, in order to sort of slow down this Falcons offense and give this offense, if it should find itself struggling again, a chance to win on Sunday?
I think down to down, this defense is inconsistent, but they have shown at various points over the season that they have a lot of potential. And if this defense is healthy, if Kevin King and Bashaud Breeland are going to play in this game, for example, I would have a lot of confidence in this defense in the matchup, and probably the most confidence I've had in this defense since Charles Woodson was playing, simply because the cornerback depth now, when this team is healthy with Kevin King, Jair Alexander, Bashaud Breeland, Josh Jackson, and Tremont Williams, if they need him, is just so much better than it's ever been. And I mean ever. I mean, you have to go back to 2010 when they had Woodson, Tremont Williams, and Sam Shields. And even then, beyond that, they didn't really have a lot. It was Pat Lee, who was out of the NFL within a few years of playing that season, and Jarrett Bush, who was a special teams player only. If they don't have those guys, then they don't have someone to match up with Julio Jones. I think Jair Alexander against Calvin Ridley will be must-see TV. I think that that matchup is going to be impossibly fun and potentially a really fun matchup for years to come. But the Packers need their bigger, more adept man corners in this game against Julio Jones, because without him, they've got Josh Jackson, a rookie who has really, really, really struggled in man coverage this season. He's not a man cover corner right now. And Tremont Williams, God bless him, is in his mid-30s and can't run like he used to. So, you know, this was the game a couple years back in the early 2010, somewhere in there, 2012, 2013, where no one could cover Julio Jones. I don't know if you remember that game. And the Packers tried like eight different coverages on him, and it didn't matter. He had 200-plus yards. And Devon House was the only guy that could, you know, offer some level of resistance. Well, he's on IR and he's not the player he was physically then. The Packers have some guys like that, but it's not, they don't if they're healthy or if they're not healthy. So, I like some of the pieces. I really like what Mike Pettine has done. I love the schemes and the blitz packages. They've been able to get pressure all year. One of the top teams creating sacks this season. But if they're not healthy, no, I don't have a lot of confidence in them stopping the Falcons, who can create big plays, you know, in an instant with, you know, Tevin Coleman, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, all those guys.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think the matchup is going to be interesting, because I think these two teams sort of marry each other with sort of the offensive struggles and having these offense that should be a lot more potent than what they are. Obviously, I think the Packers have a much better defense than the Falcons, and playing at home and given that sort of Lambeau mojo and the expectation that you wouldn't necessarily expect the Packers to lose two straight at Lambeau this late in the season. So I think that gives the Packers a little bit of an edge. If I was going to go with a prediction, I would probably predict the Packers to win this game something like 21-20, some close, but probably low scoring performance for both teams.
Yeah, I have it 24-21. So I think the Falcons cover, but the Packers win outright. And maybe this time next week, you're talking a little bit more vociferously about whether or not Dan Quinn should be the long-term solution in Atlanta. And if not you, definitely Atlanta Radio, definitely ESPN, definitely Fox Sports 1, et cetera.
Yeah, it's going to be tough if they lose another one to a quote-unquote interim coaching staff. They already lost to the Browns with Greg Williams after the Hugh Jackson firing. And so essentially the optics aren't good for Dan Quinn and his staff if they lose to a quote-unquote backup coaching staff again for the second time this year. So I'm not going to sit here and be like it's a must-win sort of game, because, you know, at this point in time, what's the point? But I do think it is one of those things where it just will not be good look for this team to lose another one to an interim head coach who basically you don't want to be basically saying you got out coached by two guys that will not be coaching in the league next year. No offense to Joe Philbin, who knows, but I'm not optimistic about his potential to take that Packers job. So, Pete, we'll have to see what happens on Sunday. And I'm looking forward to this game to see if one of these two teams starts to look like the early version of, you know, their 2018 earlier version this week, or if we're going to have to sort of watch a very dull, uninteresting game where two teams are doing their best to try to lose the game, and eventually one of them will potentially be crowned the winner. But we'll have to see how it goes.
I'm hoping for a throwback, but I'm not going to hold my breath. I think it would be great to see, just to give a little bit of juice to the fans of both of these teams, but it's not something that I'm going to predict for sure. So thanks, Aaron. This has been fun.
All right, man. You have a good one.
You too.
All right, guys. Appreciate you guys tuning in today. That's it. Appreciate Peter for joining me. Again, you can check out Peter on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. That's BUKOWSKI. Tomorrow, as I said at the top, we will do a Q&A episode where you will get any Falcons, or really if you're tired of talking about the Falcons or you want to talk about the draft, or, you know, get my thoughts on whatever topics that you want to talk about, you can send them to me and I will do my best to answer them in over the course of 30 minutes on tomorrow's episode. So you can send those, of course, email lockedonfalcons@mail.com, Twitter, lockedonfalcons. You can also send it to my Twitter account, which is FalFans, but if it's podcast related, just indicate so in the tweet. Facebook, lockedonfalcons. And of course, you can leave a comment at falcfans.com, where the podcast is posted daily. So until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team. Every day.